I'm not going to wait for somebody to tell me to sit down and shut up. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to proclaim the name of Jesus throughout the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it costs. The Lord and Savior has changed my life. He has done a turnaround in me. Things that I used to look at and maybe cry about and sit in the corner and suck my thumb. I laugh at the devil. Ha, ha, ha. Just laugh at the devil. Ha, ha. Laugh at the devil. Ha, ha. Laugh at the devil. Ha, ha. Y'all know that song? Y'all know that song? Yeah, you got to laugh at him sometimes because that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to sit down and shut up. He wants you to not say another word about the name of the, by the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to get into the word. I'm trying not to embarrass my husband out there. Amen. Hallelujah. He's probably home going, Lord, help her. Lord, help her. But I can't help it. I'm excited about what God's doing in my life. I'm excited about what he's doing in your life. And if he ain't doing nothing in your life, get in the word. You find out he is doing something in your life. Amen. If you got up this morning and you put 2 feet on the ground, maybe you even did a little jig. It don't matter. We can do a little jig in the morning when we get up. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil don't like it, but we don't care. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm ready to go. Amen. I've been in the presence of God, I tell you. Even though Jason's been dealing with some stuff, I tell you, the Lord's been dealing with me too, but it's been on the inside of my spirit. Something rising up like never before. Something going forth like never before. I promise you, you are not in a dead church. You are not in a place where the Spirit of God does not move. You are not in a place where healings don't take place. You will see more of that in the future. I'm telling you right now, there are miracles taking place right now as I speak the word. Paul's shadow passed by and they were healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. He took cloths and handkerchiefs to people that were sick and they were healed. Amen. It's not just Jesus that does healing in the flesh. We are supposed to be doing the healing too. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go tonight? My title tonight is Enlist Now. Enlist Now. You know what I'm talking about? The army of God. Amen. You can be seated if you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think Lauren was getting ready to get fired up on that keyboard. Amen. I might need her up here. I might need her to be my hype man. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord started dealing. Jason, he was debating on whether or not to come. Should I come? And we were like, Jason, just stay and rest. We'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. We're good. We can take care of it. You know, he's got to learn to depend on us. Just, you know, he's got to learn to work. Yeah. Amen. So as I was getting ready for tonight, at first I was thinking about healing. You know, with everything going on in the world, the healing scriptures need to be reinforced. You know, healing, 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 healing. And plus that's been prophesied over me. The word of the Lord has gone forth over me many, many times about that I would have a healing ministry. So of course, that's what my mind goes to because I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And it'll probably get into that, but as I was praying, believe it or not, I pray in the bathroom because that's the only place I get any privacy. Other than Molly, she's in there with me, my little puppy. She comes in there with me, but no, I'm kidding. But I do really, seriously, I like to soak in the bathtub. That's just one of my things I like to do. And when I do, I sit there meditate and pray, you know, and God talks to me, amen? I just listen. And as I was sitting there, you know, he said, the armor of God. He said, enlist now. You know, this past weekend was what? What was Saturday? 9/11, 9/11. And, you know, that's been how many years ago now? 20 this year. But I remember the exact spot where I was at. I was at home. Lauren was one. I think Jay was whatever, 4 or 5, and I just remember Mr. Danny calling our house, and he said, I need you to turn the news on. I was in my pajamas, of course. I hadn't even got dressed for the day yet. Jason was dressed, getting ready to go to the church, and we watched this. When we turned the news on, one of the planes had already crashed into the building, into one of the World Trade Centers. Well, as we were sitting there watching it, we were like, oh my gosh, surely, you know, of course you thought accident, you know, surely the flight course got off, whatever. But then the second plane hit.
And it was a feeling that I've never felt before. I can only imagine it felt like when JFK got shot. And it was just a feeling of, oh my God, we're at war. We're getting ready to go to war. And then as the day progressed, of course, you heard about the Pentagon. Then you heard about Todd Beamer, let's roll. Amen. And to me, that's how I feel right now. I feel like Satan has bombed us. I feel like he's come on our territory. And I don't know about you, but when they hit American soil, I wanted to go fight. I wanted to enlist. I wanted to be a Marine. Hoorah! You know, that's just how I felt. I was mad. Billy's like, no. I know, Billy. I know. I've got it glamorized in my mind, I'm sure. But I mean, that's just how I felt. And as, of course, time goes on and you find out why these people bombed us, you know, why they flew planes into our buildings, why they killed so many Americans, it's because they hate us. They hate Muslims, not all Muslims. You got that on camera. Not all Muslims. But a lot of them hate Christians. They hate Americans because of what we're founded on. But I was sitting there thinking about that because I just think about, to me, that touches me. It touches me to the core of my being to know that somebody's that evil. To know that people are that evil that they're willing to strap bombs on themselves for their so-called God. A God that's not even alive. A God that answers none of their prayers. A God that Pastor Jason was talking about. Remember when Elijah told him, put all the water on the wood. Let's see what your God's going to do. And our God licked it up. I mean, it was set afire. And that's the God I serve. And you think about the commitment those people had to strap a bomb on themselves and do something in the name of the Lord, in the name of their Lord. What kind of army are you in? What are you enlisted in? And in America, we have it made. We are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed way more than we could ever think or imagine. But as I think about that, and I think about 9-1-1, and I think about things that happened then, how much our country has changed since then, and all the things that have taken place since then, you know, it's becoming darker and darker. And we are at a point now that I believe we are subject for another attack. But we as Christians have to do our part. And this is where I'm getting to. And I know you want to do something physically. That's how I feel. I want to do something physically. I mean, I want to fight. I mean, that's just how I am. When I see an injustice, when I see somebody done wrong, when I see people taking advantage of other people, it makes me want to fight. It makes me want to put on some armor, you know, put on some boxing gloves, something. I just want to do something to help, you know. And I remember the feeling after 9/11, 9/12, you know, we were Americans, no matter what color, race, religion, or whatever, we were united. And the one thing is, and I remember President Bush standing behind that pulpit, or whatever, not pulpit, but that thing, podium, there you go, that podium, and saying, we will hunt you down. We will hunt you down. There was a fierceness about him, and he meant what he said. He meant we were going to hunt you down, and we were going to take you out. That's what you have to do to the devil. You don't go out looking for him, but when he comes a knocking, you take him out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So I wanted to start tonight with the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:10. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures of the Bible, because I just love how Paul describes that Roman soldier. Lindsay, do you have a picture? She's trying to. I kind of put her on the spot tonight. Look at this Roman soldier. I want you to look at him. Look at how he's dressed. Now, I'm sure Paul was very familiar with the Roman soldiers since he was in prison so much. So that's where he wrote most of his books from, was from prison. So he was very familiar with what that Roman soldier looked like. So I can imagine him. I know I've told y'all this before, because we've done the study on armor of God. We've done Priscilla Schreier's study on armor of God. It was awesome. But for some reason, the Lord wanted me to share this with you guys tonight. And I can only imagine Paul looking as he's sitting there in locks, stocks, and bonds, trying his best to write. I can imagine him looking at this soldier and thinking, look at all this armor he's got on. All this armor, how it protects him and how it keeps him from getting killed, from getting wounded, from getting hurt. It keeps him safe from the enemy. Do you know who your enemy is tonight? It's not the person sitting beside you. It's not the person that said those things about you. It's not the government, whether we believe it or not. It's not the government, but it is Satan. Satan is the enemy, and that's who we have to focus on. Amen. So in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10, I'm reading this out of the NLT. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord. What does that mean to you? What does be strong in the Lord mean to you? I have it circled in my Bible, so it must have meant something to me. So I put, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord. What does that mean to you? To me, it means be strong in the Word. Be strong in prayer. Be strong against the enemy. Be strong against what he, instead of recognizing it as a person, recognizing it as what's behind that person. It's not that person, it's the enemy. Because we still have to walk in love, whether we want to put on boxing gloves or not. We have to walk in love. We have to show the love of God. We have to be loving, and we have to show God's love, even though, I mean, my Lord, they crucified Jesus. And he said, Father, hold this not to their charge. You know, and he just, that's the love of God. No, you do not have to be walked over. No, you do not have to be stepped on. A lot of people think being a Christian means you have to be a pushover and you have to be walked on. That is not what being a Christian is. Being a Christian, you can stand up for yourself as long as it's right in the Word of God, aligned in the Word of God. And no, you do not have to make, if you've apologized and you've done your part, that's all you can do. You do not have to go around bringing it up to everybody, talking about it, doing everything. Once you've done your part, that's it. The Lord will do the rest. Amen. Because see, I think sometimes we have a mentality that we have to forgive and forget. Forgetting is a choice. Forgive is not. You have to forgive. Forgetting is our choice. I heard a lady describe it in our Bible study a couple of weeks ago. She said, when you forgive, it's for you. It's not for that person that did you wrong. It's not. It doesn't take away what they did to you. But it's like you've got all these balloons on you and they're attached to your arms. And she described it like, forgiveness, you cut it, and it just lifts, and it's gone, and it makes you not a slave to that anymore, if that makes sense. You are set free from that. So being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all, in the King James Version it says schemes, but in the NLT it says against all strategies of the devil. So tell me, what does schemes and strategy mean to you? What does, if you're getting ready to go into battle, you've got to have some sort of strategy, right? You've got to have some sort of plan how you're going to attack. And this is what God is telling you, how you plan for the enemy against his schemes. He's got a strategy for you. Believe it or not, he's got a plan picked out for the enemy. Not God. God does too, but the enemy does too. The enemy has a plan picked out for you. And he wants to, his plan is what? To steal, kill, and destroy you. So it's just like we tell our kids, whatever comes from God is good and whatever comes from Satan is bad. So the devil has a plan for your life, but God has a plan for your life. And this is how we get the plan of God to move forward in our life. This right here, it says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. So what does unseen world mean to you? It's in the spiritual realm, You know, we don't even think about the spiritual realm. We don't think about You know, we think about that person that's doing that. We're not thinking about that spirit that's behind that. That spirit of jealousy, that spirit of hatred, whatever it may be, is just a spirit is behind it. And we have to be more focused on the unseen world almost as much, almost if not more than the natural world. People don't believe there's a spiritual world. People believe things happen and blah, 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 let's just float along. That is not. The devil has a plan for you, just like God has a plan for you. And in order for you to divert the plan of the enemy, you have to know what to do. And this is what he's telling you to do. He's telling you, against evil ruler. Okay, so we know that it is not against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. There are evil spirits out there, believe it or not. I know Halloween's coming up and people get all spooky, blah, 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 about Halloween. But we ain't talking about Jason and, you know, Freddy Krueger and those kind of things. These are actual real spirits that can harm you. Don't delve in that mess because it'll harm you too. Then it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Are we living in times of evil? Are we living in the dark? The dark, I know I'm only 47. Yeah, 47. And I think about my mom and dad. You know, I think about the things that they've seen. And I think about Mr. Bobby and the things that he's seen. You know, the older ones, and just how much more evil it has gotten since I have been an adult and started realizing what's going on in the world and paying attention. And so we are lit. This is for us today. Amen. This is for us today. So it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Amen. When you put on this armor, you are not going to be defeated. You are not going to be down in the mully grubs. You will be attacked, but you will know what to do when you're attacked. Amen. Amen. You don't sit around and let people, like Carlos, I think when he spoke the last time, he's talking about getting punched. Don't get punched. Don't let the devil punch you. Stand up. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Don't let things happen in your life. Don't let the devil have your children. Don't let the devil have your finances. Don't let the devil have your health. Amen. Gosh, I get so mad. I want to kick him right square between his nasty, grubbly teeth. I mean, I get so mad at him. I'm mad at him right now for attacking my husband. I'm mad at him right now because he's attacking people in sicknesses in our church for people that have been sick. You know what? The devil is a liar. I told Jason that the day. I said, the devil is a liar, and he is the father of all lies, and all he wants to do is sit on your shoulder and tell you that you're not doing anything for the Lord. You're just sitting around twiddling your thumbs, blah, 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 blah. I get so sick of hearing him. I get sick of hearing his bull. I get sick of hearing what he's got to say. Kick him out in the name of the Lord. Amen. Kick him out in the name of Jesus. Don't sit there and listen to his mess. He ain't got nothing. He ain't got nothing new to give you. Amen. My Lord, it makes me mad. And I mean mad. I want to put my boxing gloves on. No, I don't. I want to just cold punch him with my ring right between his teeth. I get mad at him because he just wreaks so much havoc in people's lives because they let him. My Lord, either Jason or Pastor Danny, one of them used to say, when we get to heaven, we're going to say, or it might have been Dr. Hagen, when we get to heaven, are we going to say, is that thing that was harassing me the whole time? He's going to be about this big. Yeah, is this the one? Is this the one? Amen. Don't let him beat you up every day. Amen. Dear Lord, stand up. Put on your armor. Amen. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth. Do you know what the belt of truth is? You know, the Bible says we're at war. In 2 Corinthians 2:1, it says, Paul, I was supposed to tell you all this earlier, but I got way ahead of my notes. 2 Corinthians 2:1, Paul was familiar with the Roman soldiers, and I think I brought the wrong notes, but anyway. Anyway, the Bible tells us that we're at war. It tells us that we're at war. This is not some little... Serving God is not a little plaything. It is not a side toy. It's not something that we put on the back burner. If we feel like coming to church today, we're going to feel like coming. We'll come. That is not how we serve God. This is what me and Jason were talking about today. It's a walk. You know, even when I was talking to him about I was going to preach about healing, and I told him, because I was telling him about the miracles that Jesus had done, and, you know, I was going to go through the miracles and talk about the promises in the Old Testament and the miracles in the New Testament. Man, it was good. And I had it all together. I still got it right here in case I run out of things to say. But anyway, he said, I think people know what the miracles are. He said, we've got to start walking in it. And I was like, man. And maybe that's what changed my message. I don't know. But I was like, man, that's true. We know that Jesus healed the sick. We know that he healed the blind, the deaf, the mute. I mean, we know all of that. We know that. But we have to walk in it. We have to choose to get up and walk in it every single day, whether we feel like it or not. Amen? Whether the devil tells us we can or can't. Amen? Because he is, gosh, man, every time I think about what he, I just want to, Don't mess with me after church. I'm ready to roll. Let's roll, like Todd Beamer said. I'm just joking. But anyway, it says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. So the belt of truth is what? What is the belt of truth? The Word of God. Yes. So you are pure defenseless if you do not know the Word of God. If you don't have at least a few scriptures that you can stand on when something comes your way, you're going to be blown over like the little pigs. The wolf says, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. He's going to come right on around and blow it down because you ain't got no bricks to throw at him. Amen? This is the bricks that you throw at the devil. Yes, that's right. The Word. That's right. So the belt of truth, look at that belt on him. I mean, in the Roman days, that belt it held up that steel breastplate that was on him. It held it up. It held up his breastplate of righteousness. The Word of God holds up your breastplate of righteousness. It's how the Word of God teaches you how to walk, how to live, how to handle things, how to handle situations, how to handle when the devil comes knocking at your door. Amen? Because he's going to come if he ain't already, if he ain't doing it right now. Amen. He's going to tell you. He'll talk. He talks. He huffs and he puffs. And he'll try to blow your house down. But don't you let him. Amen. So the belt of truth is what? The Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God first and foremost in your life, you will fail. That is the bottom line. Like it. Do whatever you want to with it. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. The belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness, which is the breastplate of righteousness. Let me see. Is that right? No, it's fine, Lindsay. And you think about that breastplate. You think about that breastplate. It is the breastplate of righteousness. It protects all your vital organs. It protects your lungs, your heart, your spleen, your liver, your stomach. All of those things that are important and vital for you to live, and the Word of God holds that up. You think about that. Man, that's good. That's good. Even if I don't, what's Miss Boodle say? Don't shout me down now. I'm preaching real good. That's right. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good. Because I'm telling you right now, that righteousness, that's what's going to make you, the belt of truth, the Word of God, is going to help you live and walk and protect you from the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. For shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Now, these were not just ordinary shoes. These Roman soldier shoes, y'all know because we did the study, they had spikes around the front for digging into ground. Cleats, you could say, is what we would call them today. And they had them on the bottom so that they could climb up. And it even says, let me see, I got it in my notes. I'm not even going by my notes. The shield of faith. Okay, sword of the spirit. Oh yeah, shoes of peace, this last. But anyway, the shoes of peace. If we walk onto any battlefield without any of these elements or armor, we risk fatal blows from the enemy himself. Shoes stand no exception. Roman battle shoes, otherwise known as collegia, or that's the Roman word for cleats, had spikes of textured soles to dig into the ground. When a Roman army advanced, enemies would be trampled by the puncture wounds from several soldiers marching together. So they would be trampled by these shoes. You think shoes is not a big deal, but they are. But that's peace. That's what your feet are shod with, peace. And if you have the breastplate of righteousness, you've got your belt of truth, you've got your breastplate of righteousness. Of course, then you have your shoes that are shod with peace. The Word of God gives you peace. It settles you. It settles your soul. It settles your spirit. It just settles you. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now this shield, look at this shield. It was huge. It was a huge shield. As a matter of fact, the shield, when the soldiers would get together, if there were a group, they would be surrounded. They would get around their backs to one another. They would be in a round circle, and their backs would be to one another. And they would take that shield and put it up over their heads, and it would be like a covering. So when the enemy would shoot their arrows, it wouldn't penetrate them. It wouldn't get through. These shields were massive, heavy, massive shields. They were not this little thing that you see. Captain America have. This thing was huge. I mean, just you've seen Captain America. His is probably about that rank, about like that. Well, this thing probably stood about this tall. And when they lifted that thing, you had to be strong. You had to be strong in order just to carry this. So that, but it, that's what it did. It protected them from the arm, from the darts that were being thrown in. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on as your helmet, and put on salvation as your helmet. Now I wrote this down. Your salvation. Let me see where it says. Okay, the helmet of salvation protects the head, of course. Protects your mind from the enemy. Symbolically, a Christian salvation can cause the people to notice in his or her transformation, lifestyle, or character. Now, I thought that was interesting. Your helmet of salvation, of course, it's your salvation. It's when you receive Jesus. It's your salvation. But when you become saved, people know it. You're not the same person that you were. Even though you may still look like that same person, you may even still do some of the same things that person does. But when you do those things, you're going to be convicted in your spirit. And God's going to convict you. When he comes to live inside of you, he's going to let you know, hey, that might not be right for you to say. You might not want to sit around the water cooler at work and talk about that girl. You know, you might not want to take that drink. Or when you get saved, people will notice a lifestyle change in you. And salvation, that helmet protects, that salvation is like a protection for your head. It's like God speaking to you, telling you, don't do that, don't do that. And listen to him when he speaks to you. Amen? Listen to him. I've got all these little cute, these are some awesome notes. The sword of the Spirit. Of course, it says, put on the salvation as your helmet. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Of course, we know that the belt of truth is the Word of God. But the sword of the Spirit, the anointed Word of God, slices off the wicked. It slices you and dices you. In Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of a soul, spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know what that means? That you can know the intent of somebody's heart. That God can help give you a discerning spirit. God will help you know if somebody's here to hurt you or if somebody's here to really help you. Amen. Amen. That is so, God, y'all, look at that. That is so awesome. I can't believe y'all ain't dancing. All right. It says, okay. Yeah, I'm ready to shout. And it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. You know, and I think about that, I'm like, God, man, that's a lot. Pray in the Spirit at all times. That's a lot. But you know, it's really not. I think about it. I mean, even in my moment, like if I'm just sitting in the car thinking, you know, when I try to bring my thoughts back to God. What does the Word of God say about anything? You just focus on the Word of God, and it makes everything so much better. It's just good. And so pray in the Spirit at all times. Keep God. And I don't necessarily mean that means speaking in tongues all the time or anything like that. I think it means keeping your eyes focused on God and in the Spirit. When you have a moment, when you're not talking to your children or when you're not taking care of business, that your mind goes back to God every time. I mean, I know sometimes I'll get distracted with doing stuff at the house. And, you know, right now we had our floors redone and, you know, well, anyway, it's a mess. And I say it's a mess. It's getting fixed. But every time I get distracted by that, because I don't like lumps in my floor. I don't like walking on the floor and there being wood popped up in the middle of my floor. It distracts me. It makes me mad. And I'm like, because we've already paid these people to do this work and it should have been done right. Amen. But they're coming, supposedly. They're getting a whole new crew in to come fix it. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's done in Jesus' name. But anyway, but then I have to think, I try to be patient, you know, because my patience wear thin with that kind of stuff. And I'm just, because I think when you do a job, you should do it right the first time. That's just what I believe. And so when they put my floors in and they started, you know, we had a leak, of course, insurance and all that, paid for it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so my floors keep popping up in these little places. And what they did is they didn't leave enough room on the edge of my, Mr. Bobby and Daddy figured this out. So they didn't leave enough wood on the edge for the floor to lay flat. So now it's starting to buckle, the hardwood floor. Well, and it just distracts me. And I'll just be so aggravated about it. It just aggravates me. And then of course, it gets me looking at everything else that's wrong. Because, you know, you just once one thing starts going wrong, Mike's looking at me like, really? but anyway, so then, but then I have to get my focus on, Lord, I'm truly blessed. I'm blessed that my floors are not falling in the ground, on the ground. You know, I'm blessed I'm not walking through the floors anymore. You know, that, you know, they fixed the part that was, the leaks fixed. You know, I did get a new sink out of it. I did get new paint and new floors. I really have to think about how good God is and get my focus and my face back in His Word. And none of this matters anyway. Them floors don't matter. They ain't going to heaven with me. Amen. That paint don't matter. It ain't going to heaven with me. You know, none of that stuff matters. It's all worldly. Amen. So pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray for one another. Amen. Because it's just like right now, Jason, I know he's standing on the Word of God, and I know he's praying for himself, but we need to be lifting him up and encouraging him. Amen. Because even Paul said, and pray for me too. Now this is Paul that's wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament. So you think about that. And pray for me. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. Amen. Pray for us to speak boldly. Pray for us. Pray for us to, no matter what comes our way, that we can stand. Because it's coming. We faced it in the past. And as the world gets darker, it's going to get darker against those who believe. We know that. The Bible says so. But this is how we defeat our enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Read it. Get it in your heart. Read it. Read it. Read it. When the devil tells you he's going to kill you because you got cancer, you know, that stomach, that little pain that you feel in your stomach, you look it up on the internet, you know, it's cancer and you're going to die in 3 days. So that's a lie. Amen. The bank account has $5 in it, but you tithed and gave. So you know that. I'm telling you, y'all, we have been there. We have been there. People think, I mean, no, I don't have the nicest house. No, I don't drive the nicest car. But we're blessed. But we did this to get to where we are. We didn't do anything else. We did the Word of God. We tithed. We sowed into the kingdom of God, even when we didn't even have the money. I know when we first started this church, we sowed $13,000 into Randall Greer's ministry. And that's about all we had. But you know what? We got more than that now. And it's going to grow. I remember Jason told me to write the check for $13,000. I said, uh-uh. I said, we got bills to pay, brother. He said, do it. And of course, being a submissive wife that I am, I did it. I did it. Amen? Right, Jason? Yes, I hope he's watching. But anyway, no. But seriously, that kind of stuff scares you. That kind of stuff scares you. When you tithe your grocery money, I mean, you know, so to speak, we always tithe first. But after you paid the bills, there won't be much, nothing left. You couldn't go buy a little piece of jewelry or, you know, costume jewelry. You know, all this stuff I wear is not real, if in case y'all were just wondering. Only, this one and this one. Those are the two that are real. That's because I got that one when I got married. This was like a 10-year anniversary, and this one was like 20 years. But anyway, I don't know. But anyway, those are real. But I'm just telling you, none of that stuff matters. God will bless you. Amen. He will bless you. You work the word. I remember I wanted my children when we were living in Monk's Corner. I wanted my children. I'm telling you, that house that we moved in Monk's Corner, do y'all remember the ceilings falling in and stuff? Do y'all remember that when we moved in there? Okay, we didn't have rails for the first 10 years going up. I mean, we didn't live there for 10 years. But the first few years, our house wouldn't have stairs up our steps. And Lauren fell when she was a baby from the top of the floor down. But thank God he protected her. She just bounced off. That was a concrete floor too. But God, I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, we had a metal swing in the backyard. Well, I wanted the wooden one with the little playhouse, you know, the newer ones, and I wanted that for my kids. You know, and it wasn't something I was asking, you know, I was telling everybody about. Believe God with me that I get a wooden swing set. I wasn't doing that. I was just something that I wanted for my kids. And Miss Martha Fry, she was getting ready to move, and she had one in her backyard, and she asked me if I wanted it. I mean, that's how much God cares about you. He cares if you have a wooden swing or not. Amen. That's how much he wants you to know the word of God, so that when you pray and he'll give you your heart's desire. He is a good, good father. I know they were playing that song before church. You know, he is a good, good father. He is so good. And he has given you everything to defeat the enemy right here. Read that. Read that one chapter. Just read it. Get it down in your heart and believe it. Amen. I'll tell you what, I preached myself happy tonight. Amen. I have been in the Word of God. There's no place I'd rather be, and I feel like I'm on cloud nine. And I promise you, if you get into that anointing, that glory, it'll make you feel the same way. God is no respecter of persons. You take the time to pray, seek His face, pray in the Spirit, and I'm telling you, you don't have to do it all day long. If you'll just do it for 20 minutes, it'll change your day. It'll change your whole day. If you do it driving down the road, it'll change your mindset. But God is good, and He loves you. So are you ready to enlist?
Yes.
Come on. Thank you. Are you ready to enlist in the army of God? Remember, we're not out here playing games. Amen. We're ready to fight the fight of faith. Amen. We're ready to do what God's called us to do. We're ready to go forth and fight. Amen. Just like, some of you are patriotic. Some of you may not be. I consider myself to be a patriotic person. I love our country. I love I consider myself to be that way. Of course, I'm not enlisting, you know, not tonight anyway. But I am enlisted in God's army. And I want all of you to be enlisted in God's army. And I want you to take it just as serious as I take it. Or just as serious as God wants you to take it. Because he does. Do you think he would put that in the Bible if he didn't want you to think like that? To think about that armor that you put on? And keep it on. People say, get up and put on your armor every day. You don't take it off. You sleep in that junk. You sleep in that. You sleep in them. Amen? You keep it on the whole time. You don't take it off. And don't let the devil disguise good things to make them look good. You pray about every decision you make. Every decision. If it takes you away from your family, if it takes you away from church, if it takes you away from people that love you and care about you, pray about it. Pray about it. You know, that won't cost you no extra, like Pastor Jason says. I did good. All right, God is good. I love you guys. I appreciate you. If there's anybody here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, I'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to get you right in the army of God. Amen. We'll get you put right in your place. You can come on to church here and we'll put you right in a position. Amen. It might be babysitting babies, but it'll be a position. Amen. So if you seriously though, if you don't know, I think I know most of y'all in here. If you don't know Jesus, or if you need prayer for healing in your body, we'll be glad to pray with you for that too. But if not, we're gonna dismiss.